I want you to know that wherever you are in your journey, Jesus will come and meet with you. He will walk with you. Even though it might be in a state of discouragement, disillusionment, Jesus will be there. He walks with you. Sometimes we wonder, where is God? He's going to catch up with you. He'll be there. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Why? Let's find out.
We're talking about Jesus on the road to Emmaus and how the disciples walking beside him could not recognize his presence. Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. If you ever find yourself walking through this journey called life and you cannot sense God's presence in your world, take courage, my friend. Today, a message entitled, God Came Near. Here's Pastor Wayne.
Today we want to talk about a journey that Jesus goes on, 7-mile journey. So today we're going to walk with him from Jerusalem to Emmaus. He's going to meet up with two people. But first, let me give you a funny story. The story is told of a farmer. His name is George, Farmer George. He had this nagging wife, and she would nag and nag and nag about every little thing. And the only way he could get away and get some peace is he'd hitch up his mule and go plow some ground. And so whenever she started nagging, he'd go, I got to plow ground. And so he'd go out and he'd just talk only to his mule, tell him all of his troubles. And the mule was really nice, never answered back. And so he'd plow. Well, this kept going day after day, week after week, month after month, until he had plowed so much ground, there was no plowing left. He would just plow up everything because that was his only respite to get away from his nagging wife. Well, the wife finally found out what he was doing. So she thought, that's it. So she marched out into the middle of the field and started nagging him and complaining and griping about him, leaving her alone in the house. And that was his way of escaping her. Well, the mule, I guess, had had enough because the mule just spun around, gave her a double barrel kick, kaboom, into next week, Tuesday. Well, he called 911 and the doctor could not revive the wife. She died. Well, at the funeral, all these area farmers came together. And the wives would come up to this guy, Farmer George, and he'd nod like this. But when the men would come up, he'd shake his head no. And the pastor was watching this all day long. Yes to the women, no to the men. And the pastor came up and said, George, what's going on? How come you nod yes to the women, no to the men? He said, well, the women will come up and say how pretty she looks and what a nice dress she had on. And so I'd agree. And the men, well, the men were all coming up asking if I would sell the mule. That's just a joke. Just a joke. So women, don't be sending me letters now. Luke chapter 24. This is the day of the resurrection. It's Easter. Jesus is crucified on Friday, the third day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Now, this is happening on Sunday. Two now are leaving Jerusalem, going back to their hometown because they were in town for the Passover. Now they're going back to Emmaus, their hometown. And they're walking away upset. Why? Well, because Jesus is crucified. He had promised so much about redeeming Israel. And look, what's going on? So we enter the story and let's walk along with these two. Now, that same day, or the day he was raised from the dead, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Now, they were talking to each other about everything that happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. I want you to know that Jesus was not ahead saying, hey, this way. He wasn't saying, don't walk that way, walk like this. He catches up to them and walks with them in their journey. I want you to know that wherever you are in your journey, Jesus will come and meet with you. He will walk with you. Even though it might be in a state of discouragement, disillusionment, Jesus will be there. He walks with you. Sometimes we wonder, where is God? He's going to catch up with you. He'll be there. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Why? Let's find out. And by the way, if you think that Jesus doesn't have a sense of humor, we're about to find out. So Jesus, who was walking with them, asked him, what are you discussing together as you walk along? The two stopped and stood still, and their faces were downcast. They were disillusioned. One of them, named Cleopas, said, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem that doesn't know what's been happening here?" Jesus said, "Really? Tell me." I think this is really cool. "Yeah, no, I don't. Tell me. Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, a powerful man in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they killed him. They crucified him. But we had hoped that he was going to redeem Israel from the Romans. He would give them a bash in the head and give us back the land." That part's just in my Bible. I don't think it's in yours. I read the Revised Standard Version. "And what's more, it's the third day since this took place." So the third day, Friday, Saturday, what's going on? "In addition," he said, "some of the women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. And they came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And then some of our companions went to the tomb, found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." Interesting. They were so caught up in the situation. "Are you the only one that doesn't know what's going on?" Jesus replies, "How foolish you are and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and enter his glory? And beginning with Moses," all the way back, "beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained and expounded to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself." You know, the two on that road were caught up. "Are you the only one that doesn't know about the inflation rate? COVID that took place January 6th? Hamas, Ukraine, Russia, the border at the southern part of the U.S. Are you the only one that not caught up in these things?" And Jesus says, "Let me tell you about Moses." No, "What does Moses have to do with all of this?" "Oh, no, let me tell you what the prophets are saying." You see, sometimes we get so caught up in current events. Not that we shouldn't know about current events, but don't be held hostage by them. Jesus says, "You've got it mixed up. You're so held hostage by the stuff that's going on. Let me tell you about Moses. Let me tell you about the scriptures." And then he starts expounding. And then they're thinking, I think he knows way more than we thought he knew. There is a larger picture out there that we had no idea about. And he begins expounding the scriptures. Now, let me ask you, listen carefully. Do you think when Jesus was expounding the scriptures to these guys that he had a bunch of scrolls under his arm? Hold on. Let's say Moses, somewhere. Hold on. Anyway, do you think he had a bunch of scrolls? No, he had it in him, didn't he? Can I encourage you to know the scriptures? Because when it was done, they're going to say, "Man, our hearts were just burning within us when he told us the scriptures." Listen carefully. When you memorize scripture, you make it portable. You take it with you wherever you go. If you don't memorize, the scriptures never become portable. You don't know what it says. You have to go back to this. So memorize scripture. And when you do, scripture becomes portable. Well, the Lord is speaking to them and he tells them about scripture. And when he was done, he said this, "Oh, foolish men, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Didn't the Messiah have to suffer these things to enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them what was said about himself in the scriptures. Oh, foolish men, slow of heart to believe." Did you know that there's a dial in your heart that's set either to slow of heart, medium of heart, or quick of heart? Here's the question. What's the speed of your faith? Slow? Mediocre? Blurry? Hesitant? Doubtful? There's all kinds of attenuations on that dial. My prayer is that you would give entry to the Holy Spirit to reach his hand in there and turn your dial up to quick to believe. No, not quick to be gullible. Not quick to be susceptible, quick to be leave. Quick to have faith. And when you do, things start to change. He said to these men, oh, slow of heart. My prayer is that when God looks at us, he'll go, you guys, your dials are set on quick. You're fast. I love it. And immediacy. There's an action that takes place. There's an immediacy in your life. And these men, their dials were set on low. But that's about to change. Because the first state of your heart, you can write into your notes, is a slow heart. Slow heart. Some people have a slow heart on their journey with Jesus. Give access to the Holy Spirit so he can tweak that dial, turn that attenuator up to quick to believe. Can you say amen to that? That was really weak. Try it again. How many of you would want the Holy Spirit to turn it to fast? Amen. There you go. Now we're talking. All right. And the second is as they're walking along, he's explaining the scriptures. Now, the Bible says that their eyes were kept from recognizing him. But as they were walking along, it says this. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him and said to him, please stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day's almost over. So he stayed with them. Jesus is a gentleman, by the way. He'll never force himself on you. If you don't want him to stay with you, he'll go on. But if you'll ask, he'll come. And it was over supper that as they were eating, listen to this. When they were at the table with him, he took bread and gave thanks and broke it. Sounds like communion, huh? And began to give it to them. Then their eyes were open and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. And they asked one another, wow, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They recognized him. Man, weren't our hearts burning? The second state of your heart as you're walking your journey with Jesus is a heart that burns. We want to have a burning heart because as he's expounding the scriptures and the scriptures are coming in, their eyes are starting to get enlightened. And then they recognize him. Did you know that if you don't know the scriptures and you just have opinions about God, you won't recognize him, even if he's there next to you. But the more the word of God enters you, you begin to recognize him. There he is. There he is. No. Not just hear about the word of God, but memorize it. You begin to read it and it begins to fill you. And when Jesus shows up, you'll know he's there. I know he's there. Something of confidence enters you. Something of authority comes into your life. I know. It can be in the middle of a disillusioned time where you're disenchanted, but you'll say, but I know Jesus has the answer. I just don't know it yet. So I'm just going to hang out with him and he's going to reveal it to me. What's happening? Well, because the scripture is in your heart, you can say, I know this is true because I know what the word says. That's not true. This is true. That's not true. Pretty soon you'll have a discernment that no one else may have. Why? Because the word of God abides in you. Weren't our hearts burning when he was expounding the scriptures? Yes. Why? Because when God created us, he attuned our hearts to the word of God. That when the word of God comes, your heart goes, yes, it resounds. Yes, it resonates. Why? Because I was created in his image. I was created to be attuned to the word. And when the word of God is heard, my heart begins to burn. And because the word of God is archived within you, you'll hear all kinds of opinions around you, in the locker room, at school, at college, from professors, from the media. But you'll say, that's not true. I don't receive that. I reject that. I was watching a movie last night, and it comes across the scene. It's like, oh, nope, click, click, done. I'm the fastest movie watcher in the world. I'll watch something and they get a weird scene. It's like, I'm done. Because he cannot unsee stuff. And so, in fact, the Bible says, the book of Job, I will put no worthless thing before my eyes. I thought, yep, I'm going to do that. I'm also the fastest speed reader, too. I'll read a book when it comes across some dumb stuff. It's like, no, I'm done. I actually throw books away. In fact, my wife, you can ask her, she came back one day with some books. She said, honey, this is in the trash can. Leave it in the trash can. There's a reason. Yeah, I don't even keep them in my library because I have just so much space for truth, and I don't want to have a whole bunch of stuff messing it up because you can get held hostage by this stuff. And the Lord says, if you would have known just the scriptures, you would have revelation and all of that. You would be relevant and all of that. You would understand what's going on. Were not our hearts burning within us when he was expounding the scriptures to us on the road? And listen, the more you're thoroughly immersed in the word of God, the more you'll start recognizing him. He's here. I know he's here. God, you're hearing me. Yep, you are. And then as they sat at that table, it says this. They recognized Jesus, and then it says they got up, and that very hour, they were so excited, that very hour, they returned to Jerusalem, excited. Now, wait a minute here. That very hour, yep, they got up at once and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the other 11 and those with them. They were assembled together, and they said, it's true. The Lord has risen, and he's appeared to Simon. Then the two told them of what happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. But the Bible says when they broke bread, here's the third point, their hearts were renewed. There was a renewed heart, refired heart, new vision. Something inside of them came alive again. Don't you know that there's times you and I are going to be walking through this life and your heart's going to get flat. Things that used to be exciting are no longer exciting. Fun, no longer fun. Something that really got my attention doesn't anymore. And did you know that it is our responsibility to get our own hearts renewed? Every single one of us must develop his or her own inspiration package to renew your hearts. Best way? Get close to Jesus. He renews your heart like nothing else. Get close to him. And when they supped with him or had supper, their eyes were open and they returned to Jerusalem excited. Now watch this. This is crazy. They're leaving Jerusalem. They're down in the mouth, disenchanted, discouraged. What's going on? Don't you know what's going on? Jesus, who was supposed to redeem us from the Romans and the Jews, got killed. Yeah, we're done. Now, Jesus was walking with them, yet they're completely down in the mouth. They see him at supper time. Their eyes are open. And the Bible says, and he disappeared. You know, he may not have disappeared. He just may have said, let what I said eclipse your need to see me physically. Let my word and my scriptures eclipse your need for proof to see the nail scars. Because what I say is eternal. Well, once they caught that, weren't our hearts burning when he exposed the scriptures to us? Now they're going back just totally excited. They're jumping. They're all excited. Going back to Jerusalem. Now, wait a second. His presence was with them to Emmaus, and his presence in the Spirit of God is with them on the way back. But when his presence was with them on the way to, they were down in the mouth. Presence again, they were excited. What made the difference? What changed their attitude, their disposition, their demeanor? Was it the presence of the Lord? Not necessarily. More so, it was this. It was them recognizing the presence of God. When you recognize that he's here right now, everything changes. I want to encourage you, recognize him in your marriage. Recognize him in your family. Recognize him when no one else is around. When you think that no one sees, just think the Lord's here. Changes the way you act. When I'm upset, it's like when I see the Lord standing there going, say, yeah, what are you going to say now, Wayne? Yeah, all right, God bless you, my friend. Everything changes. Can I encourage you and challenge you to recognize the presence of God? Because it's not just his presence that makes a difference. It's you recognizing his presence. Slow of heart to believe, let him turn that dial up. Hearts that need to be burning, let the scriptures come into your life. Memorize one a month. If you do, that's 12 a year. That'll be twice as much as what you probably are memorizing now. So memorize one a week would be great. You'd have 52 scriptures archived in your heart. So when you hear something on the media, you'll immediately say, nope, that doesn't scare me. I know the promise of God. Nope, that's not right. No, sir. I don't know exactly how to explain it all. I don't have the articulation to be able to unpack the concept to answer your question correctly. But I know that what you're saying is not right. Check. And you'll have so much authority and confidence in your life because the scriptures. And you'll recognize the presence of God. You'll have a renewed heart when you recognize his presence. But would you remember those three things? Slow of heart, is that your state? What was about a burning heart? It's time to have our hearts burning again with the first love. Let the scriptures start to flood you. And then that'll give you a renewed heart. Because then you recognize his presence. And what goes from bad turns to good. What turns to a lack of confidence, from a lack of confidence turns to full confidence. For some years, I used to paddle carbon fiber canoes out in the ocean. And competitively, and because I enjoy the water and water sports. And one of the major sports was a long distance canoe race, a 6-man canoe, 40 feet long. And we start over on the island of Molokai, and it's 41 miles across open ocean to Oahu. And it takes about 5.5 hours. You train pretty much all year for this. You start off, and there's an escort boat, and at about 40 minutes later, you'll have two guys dive into the water in the middle of the ocean. You can't see land. It's just water as far as you can see, and there will dwell the big fish with gray suits, so you have to kind of be careful, and so they check everything, and then you dive in, line yourself up with the canoe, and come screaming at your head. You jump to go to the side in the water, treading water. And each seat is numbered. So if I'm number 3, I let slide 1, 2, and grab onto 3, get into the third seat. At that same time, number 3 bails out. And it's kind of like a Pony Express for 5.5 hours. You're doing this. The first mile, 2 miles, 3 miles, you are Superman. You're paddling with all your might because you are strong. You're excited. And you can see 100 canoes around you. After about an hour, you can see about 5 canoes because everybody just is spread out. After about the 4th hour or so, you are the only one in the ocean. And you hit some waves. Some actually turn over. You have to turn them back over again and bail out the canoe and keep right on going as hard as you can. After about 4 or 5 hours, though, you start to hallucinate because you are just depleted. You are fatigued. I started seeing mermaids flying through the air. But, you know, you come into the where it's the end line, the finish line, and you're going. I was so tired. I just thought, Lord, just let me jump in. Let a shark eat me because I am just done. I am so tired. I'm depleted. But you know what? I look on the shore and my wife and kids were there. Come on, Dad, come on. And one of them had a camera. As soon as the camera comes up, it's like, oh, isn't that right? Goes from fatigue to fantastic. And as soon as you see the camera, it's like everything changes because of the presence of my wife and family. It's funny, you know, when you have presence of the Lord, you know the Lord is there, everything changes from fatigue to fantastic, from hopelessness to hope, because I recognize that he's here with me and I'll be all right. He's there. Doesn't matter what you're going through. Keep your eyes on who you're walking with, not your walk, what you're walking through, and let the word of God be the lens through which you see everything else. This never changes. Everything else.
You've just heard a message entitled God Came Near by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for listening. Now for Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's richest blessings and aloha.
Feeling like life is running you over? It's time to take control with powerful attitudes for a successful life by Wayne Cordero. This insightful book reveals the keys to abundant living found throughout the Bible, helping you avoid common mistakes and see life through God's eyes. With humor and wisdom, Pastor Wayne shows you how to think differently and live successfully. Order Powerful Attitudes for a Successful Life now only $5 at lifesources.cc. Lifesources.cc. A successful life is within your reach. Start today.